Compass Media Networks. This is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Mid-air collision. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka on this Wednesday, March 15. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Military officials say unprofessional behavior is the reason a Russian fighter jet clipped the propeller of a U.S. drone in the skies over the Black Sea.
Hundreds of thousands are without power this morning after powerful storms slammed California and New England.
Stocks of mid-sized banks rebounded after the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. Meanwhile, investigations into the fall of SVB are underway.
And the new chatbots could upend many online businesses or be a boon to those who work best with AI.
The companies that can be hurt or helped are anybody who's tethered to the internet. It's everybody from software services businesses to cloud computing companies to publishers to the giant search engines themselves.
Trip Mickle at the New York Times on the internet in a tizzy over generative artificial intelligence. The U.S. military says one of its spy drones was clipped by a Russian fighter plane over the Black Sea. The MQ-9 drone, operating out of Romania, had its propeller clipped by a Russian Su-27, and operators then guided it into the sea. It's the first such direct encounter between the two powers since Russia invaded Ukraine over a year ago. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says the United States conducts regular surveillance flights in the region.
We are going to continue to fly and operate in international airspace over international waters. The Black Sea belongs to no one nation, and we're going to continue to do what we need to do for our own national security interests in that part of the world.
A U.S. defense official said two Russian jets and the American drone flew near one another for about 30 minutes yesterday morning in international airspace before one of the Russian jets dumped fuel on the drone and pulled away. The second jet tried to do the same, but collided with the drone. The U.S. has not recovered the wreckage, and officials are not discussing such plans. More than 400,000 customers are without power this morning after a storm system hit New England and California. Hundreds of flights were canceled, and hundreds of school districts were closed yesterday as a winter storm wreaked havoc on travel and dumped more than 2 feet of snow in portions of the Northeast. Meanwhile, in the West, an already saturated California faced more flooding from the latest atmospheric river, and nearly 27,000 people were under evacuation orders due to flood and landslide risks. Sonoma County Fire Department Captain Sean Johnson with a familiar message.
Our message is, if there's a road sign that says don't go through or there's flooded water, please avoid the area.
This woman and her family had to be rescued in Guerneville, Sonoma County.
We thought we could get through and we can't, so my advice, don't ever go through water. Ever.
California has been battered by 10 previous atmospheric rivers. Back to New England, where the National Weather Service says the highest snow total from the storm as of late afternoon yesterday was 33 inches in both Hawley, Massachusetts, and Greenville, New Hampshire. Two government agencies are reportedly conducting separate investigations into the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. The Wall Street Journal says the Justice Department and the Securities and Exchange Commission are involved after SVB was taken over by regulators last week amid a historic run on its deposits. The separate probes are in their preliminary phases and may not lead to charges or allegations of wrongdoing. Prosecutors and regulators often open probes after financial institutions or public companies suffer big unexpected losses. Art Hogan is a chief market strategist with B. Riley Wealth.
It's going to take at least a week for us to disseminate through all of the other regional banks and try to ascertain or figure out, are there other banks that have similar issues?
The journal says investigations are also examining stock sales that officers of SVB's parent company made days before the bank failed. Before SVB collapsed last week and was taken over by the FDIC, it catered mainly to the world of startups and the investors who fund them.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2023 Bank of America N.A.
Thanks for spending time with us. Economists warn that President Biden's extraordinary action to make more than $200 billion in additional government funds available to customers whose deposits were not covered by federal insurance at two collapsed banks is the first step toward government control of the banking system. More on the fallout from Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank from Jeff Murdoch, White House reporter at The Washington Times. Jeff, where are we on this?
Well, their argument here is that what the president's doing with this bailout, and it is what this is called, the Smith administration doesn't want to use this word, is clearly a bailout. And what they're saying is the fact that the FDIC is willing to go beyond their statutory limits to protect uninsured deposits in these two failed banks is the largest government interference we have had in the banking sector in even going beyond the 2008 financial crisis. And what that's doing is it's incentivizing these banks to take more risk because now they know taxpayers will foot the bill if things go badly. And that's a real concern among economists. And they look at it as almost a transforming the banking sector into almost a public utility.
What were the statutory limits that were exceeded here, Jeff? Back up one second.
Sure. The statutory limits is $250,000. So what that means is the FDIC has a fund called the Deposit Insurance Fund, or DIF, and that covers any deposits that covers deposits in failed banks up to $250,000. What the Biden administration is doing here is they're saying, well, we're going to cover all the deposits. If they exceed $250,000, that's what we'll cover. And the federal government's never done that before. I mean, this is an unprecedented step for the federal government to do it. But what's interesting is this is also going to stretch that fund to its limit because the two failed banks, Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, have roughly $240 billion in uninsured deposits, and the DIF currently holds $120 billion in its coffers to help pay for these deposits. So it's going to be real interesting to see where the administration's getting the funds from. It's going to be real interesting to see how that impacts consumers.
We're speaking with Jeff Murdoch, White House reporter at The Washington Times. His piece is called Biden's Bailout, a Step Toward Government Control of Banking System, at least according to economists. So the president had said that taxpayers would not be on the hook here, but it does sound like indirectly they might be. I guess if banks have to start coughing up more fees to better fund the deposit insurance fund.
Okay. That's exactly right. As I just said, you know, the Signature and Silicon Valley Bank have about $240 billion in uninsured deposits. We have $128 billion in the DIF. How the DIF is funded is the federal government charges banks fees. So all the banks are paying into the DIFs through fees. A Treasury official who spoke to reporters on Sunday said that if the DIF is stretched, if the Deposit Insurance Fund is stretched, we will just raise fees on the banks. We will charge higher fees, and we will use that to fund the deposits that we can't that go beyond what's currently in the fund. But if you're going to increase the charges on banks, what's going to happen is the banks are just going to pass those costs on to consumers. We're going to see higher costs. We're going to see increased overdraft fees, increased ATM fees, reduced service, maybe fewer tellers. In the end, the public always ends up on the hook for any federal program, and that's exactly what's going to happen here.
Explain the phrase moral hazard and how that's used in these discussions.
Yeah, moral hazard is really interesting. It's when a bank or a venture capital firm or another entity that's making investments decides to take a bigger risk than they otherwise would because somebody else will cover the cost if things go badly. It's a risk that becomes even higher if an institution is seen as too big to fail, like the banks, because then the government can sometimes use it to justify a tighter government regulation of that sector. But what's interesting, and the Republicans have really made this point with the president, is what you're doing is you're leaving people who invested more prudently, who on the hook for banks that invested recklessly.
Here's Jeff Murdoch, White House reporter at The Washington Times. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Pentagon says a Russian jet struck a U.S. spy drone over the Black Sea and knocked it out of the sky. in one of the first direct military confrontations between the two nations' forces since the war started in Ukraine. State Department spokesman Ned Price.
We are engaging directly with the Russians, again, at senior levels, to convey our strong objections to this unsafe, unprofessional intercept, which caused the downing of the unmanned U.S. aircraft.
The collision is inflaming tensions between the U.S. and Russia and could widen the war in Ukraine.
Number two.
President Biden has signed an executive order aimed at reducing gun violence, including changes that could increase the number of gun buyers subjected to background checks. He made the announcement while visiting the area of a January mass shooting in Monterey Park, California.
The executive order ramps up our efforts to hold the gun industry accountable. It's the only outfit you can't sue these days.
Biden says his executive actions are designed to move the U.S. as close to universal background checks as possible without the passage of legislation in Congress, where partisan divides have left most gun safety legislation stalled.
Number three.
A winter storm has dumped heavy wet snow in parts of the Northeast, causing tens of thousands of power outages, widespread school closings, dangerous driving conditions, and a plane to slide off a taxiway. The storm's path included parts of New England, New York, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. On the West Coast, soggy California faces more flooding from the latest deluge. This resident of Walnut Creek returned home to a yard of toppled trees.
I'm shocked because of the way our tree company told us that we had three more years life in the trees. And I mean, this, we've been gone all morning, came home to this.
27,000 people are under evacuation orders due to flood and landslide risks. The expanded World Cup in North America will be even more supersized. The governing body of soccer increased the size of the 2026 tournament for the second time by approving a bigger group stage for the inaugural 48-team event. By retaining groups of four teams instead of moving to three, FIFA has created a 104-game schedule that will last nearly 6 weeks in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico.
So I'm going to need a six-week sabbatical.
I know where you will be in 2026.
Got it. Thanks, Jen. The Dell Technologies semi-annual sale starts now with limited quantity deals on select performance PCs powered by 12th gen Intel Core processors. Save on select Vostro laptops with built-in security features and select Latitude laptops with enhanced privacy, collaboration, and connectivity. Save on select essential accessories, plus free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for being with us. Americans are encountering more problems with companies' products and services than ever before, and a higher proportion of them are actively seeking revenge for their troubles. Katie Dayton at the Wall Street Journal got a look at a new survey. Katie, what are we learning?
As many people might have guessed, things seem to be getting kind of bad for consumers. This study that gets done, you know, every 2 to 3 years, it's sort of based on a study that was once started by the White House in the 70s, found that 74% of sort of 1,000 consumers that they surveyed had experienced a product or a service problem in the past year. So maybe something was faulty, or, you know, they couldn't get the service that they wanted, and you know, they sort of put that down as a bad experience, which, you know, 74% is a lot, and it's definitely a lot when you look back to what it was in the 70s, which was 32%. So it has literally doubled in the past 40 or so years.
How do we explain that?
This is a question I'm trying to answer at the moment. There's a lot of factors at play. I think right now, looking at the past few years, that's, you know, staffing issues. That is things getting more expensive, and, you know, therefore kind of sort of making you think, well, if I'm paying more money, why is the service getting worse? And a lot of it is companies using technology and trying to cut costs, either to solve these issues or to, you know, just to make themselves a bit more profitable. And that is using, you know, things like phone bots and artificial intelligence and those little pop-up boxes when you go to a company's websites that try and help you, but a lot of the time just don't work very well. So you've got this kind of friction between, you know, what the consumers want, which a lot of the time is just to speak to someone on the phone,
yeah,
and then you have what the companies want to do, which is try and get as many people away from the phone as possible. So I think when it comes to the service element, that's certainly a problem.
I was going to say, so we may be behaving badly lately, but by the same token, just the customer service has been in a free fall and in many of these situations.
Yeah, and it's a difficult one to know. You know, I'd love to speak to an economist about this, but, you know, whether have our expectations changed as well, you know, during that time. I was speaking to somebody at this conference about how perhaps in the 70s, you know, if you had an issue, you might write a letter and send that in, and, you know, you'd wait, you know, maybe a week or two to get a response from the company. Whereas now we are so used to getting immediate feedback and being able to sort things out ourselves so quickly that perhaps our expectations are raised too.
Right.
But I know I certainly receive lots of feedback from readers about the phone line issue and how they can't get through to anyone. And there's this phenomenon of companies appearing to hide their phone line on their websites.
Right. So we go right to social media, right? And just vent, for example.
Yeah. And social media plays a really interesting part in the research here because they also look at this idea of revenge, the idea of, you know, posting on social media. So, you know, you can scream to the world, like, I'm having a problem. Mm-hmm. And the company's not listening to me, so I'm going to publicly shame this company.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Dayton at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. 2023 is well underway, and many of us are still trying to get high-interest debt under control. Great news. A credit card consolidation loan from LightStream can help pay off your credit cards and lock in a low fixed interest rate. Rates start at 7.99% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are no fees. Plus, the fixed rate will never rise, and you can often get your money the same day you apply. Just for my listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to visit LightStream.com/deal. That's LightStream, LightStream.com/deal. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 7.99 to 23.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/deal for more information. That's LightStream.com/deal.
Tired of trying to separate fact from fiction? Get your information from a source you can trust. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning, with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Wednesday, March 15. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. A U.S. drone collides with a Russian fighter jet over the Black Sea. Storms clobber California and New England. Two investigations reportedly underway about the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. 10,000 more layoffs at the parent company of Facebook. Students at Wellesley College voted to allow transgender men to be eligible for admission to the women-only school. Ted Lasso Season 3 out today on Apple TV+, and a contract for a pitcher at the World Baseball Classic as he walked off the mound. That story in about 20 minutes. Reaction to ChatGPT among company executives has ranged from anxiety to excitement over Silicon Valley's newest new thing. Chatbots have ignited a scramble to determine whether their technology could upend the economics of the internet, turn today's powerhouses into has-beens, or create the industry's next giants. It's a story by Trip Mickle, tech reporter at the New York Times. Trip, what are you hearing?
To back up, I mean, it's pretty clear when these chatbots hit that they had the potential to rewire the internet. If you think about the internet journey beginning at a search engine, say Google, and you type something in and you get a bunch of hyperlinks and then you venture across the web, chatbots kind of have the potential to upend that model. Instead of, you know, links, you're just getting direct answers. And so the companies that can be hurt or helped are anybody who's tethered to the internet. It's everybody from software services businesses to cloud computing companies to publishers to the giant search engines themselves.
All right. So speaking of giant search engines, you referenced Google in your piece having reasons to both love and hate this generative AI. How come?
Let's start with love. Several years ago, when Google decided to move into the cloud computing sector of the tech industry and try to challenge Amazon's dominance there, they basically made a wager that they couldn't catch Amazon today, but if AI became a major factor in the future, and that was something, if you look at reasons to hate it, obviously it poses a major threat to their $162 billion search advertising business. I mean, that's predicated upon doing a search and getting about four ads on most searches or on many searches. And that's how they make most of their money. That's more than half of the revenue they make every quarter.
Jeez. All right. So in theory, ChatGPT could give you instantly what you were looking for instead of multiple options. Is that why it's a threat?
Yeah. And that, and, you know, if you talk to anybody who's looking at chatbots as the way to learn about the world around us, you know, the way we use the internet today, they don't know how they're going to turn this into a business. It's like, you know, it's like a Back to the Future moment. We're going back to the late 1990s when Google first arrived, and Google itself was saying, well, we help you navigate the internet. They hadn't quite yet arrived at the advertising model that has allowed them to become such a huge, huge sales engine. And we're starting from scratch all over again here.
Wow. We're speaking with Trip Mickle, technology reporter at the New York Times. His piece is called "The Chatbots Are Here and the Internet Industry is in a Tizzy." You referenced in your piece the volatility of chatbots. What about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's really a reference to the idea that in one moment, these chatbots can impress you by, say, for example, providing a 3-day itinerary for a trip to Stockholm, if that was something you needed. And then in the next moment, they can be disturbing and troubling, as we saw in my colleague Kevin Roos's exchange with Sydney. It got really dark and kind of frightening. I mean, you know, Sydney tried to break up his marriage. And so, you know, at this juncture, as we're looking at, you know, the possible benefits of it and the possible dangers of it, it's really hard to draw a conclusion about whether or not this is going to be something that is totally disruptive or merely, you know, merely causes some temporary turbulence.
Yeah. Boy, finish up, if you would, about this digital advertising firm you spoke with, Cafe Media. What are they considering here with regards to something like a ChatGPT?
Yeah, I think what was fascinating in talking with them is two things. One, they're meeting twice a week. You know, they're having special sessions just to talk about what this change could mean for the 4,200 websites they support. And then the second thing is that in the course of those conversations, one of the things they've discussed is, okay, what do we do if chatbots are doing what they call scraping content off our websites and using that to provide answers without paying for it. And one solution that they have is changing the way the websites are coded to prevent and block chatbots from scraping and gleaning content off the website. So it would throw a wrinkle into both how chatbots work and how the web has worked historically. I mean, think of it as like the way we've thought of the music industry, and this is something that's going to have to be settled in court. But what people who create the original content on websites would like to see eventually, maybe with chatbots, is that people pay licensing fees, almost like sampling a song for a new song, and that way they're able to get some kind of sales benefit from the hard work they're doing on the back end.
Thanks, Trip. Trip Mickle, tech reporter at the New York Times. Meanwhile, about 4 months after OpenAI brought us ChatGPT, the company is releasing its next generation version of the technology that powers the viral chatbot tool. It is called GPT-4.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Hey, glad you could be with us. Welcome into Wednesday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know how hard it is for businesses to find qualified, reliable workers these days, so you can't blame a boss for writing a very detailed job listing in the hopes of weeding out potential problems. One listing, however, has gone viral after getting weirdly specific for its demands. This came to light in a TikTok video in which a woman reads the ad for a restaurant server she came across on Craigslist. Now, at first, she says it starts off normal, then rattles off a list of people they don't want to apply for the job, like people who have to give friends rides to work later than we start work and experience flat tires every week and suddenly become deathly ill on Coachella and Splash House weekends. it continues to get even more specific, advising people not to apply if you need nights off because your grandma poisoned you with her ham again, or your band has a gig and you need weekends off because your favorite roller derby team made it to the finals. Also, don't apply if it's ski season, you accidentally got on a plane to Vegas, you haven't surfed in a while, or you have a headache after going to too many garage sales.
Wow. Who does that leave left?
I know.
Who's left to work after all that?
I know. I mean, there's at least five of these apply to me, so I'm not going to be getting this job anytime soon.
My goodness. I hope that with those types of demands, there's an hourly wage to match those demands.
You would hope that if they find, if you make it through this gauntlet, right, and you end up getting this job, that there'll be a commensurate salary to reward you for your loyalty and for not basically doing anything with your free time.
Restaurant server, and you're on demand, it seems.
Yes.
Wow.
And, the run of the hit HBO show The Last of Us has gotten people thinking about how they might survive if mushroom-headed zombies started wreaking havoc. In an effort to be prepared, a company called InsureRanks surveyed more than 1,000 people and analyzed Google searches to determine where each of the 50 states lands on zombie apocalypse preparedness. And according to the survey, as in the show, Wyoming is the readiest to take on The Walking Dead, with acres of open space, the ability to live off the land, stockpile weapons, and most importantly, avoid people. Mm. To that end, other sparsely populated states were near the top of the list, like Alaska, Vermont, and the Dakotas. The worst states to be in when zombies start to attack? States with lots of people, like California, Texas, Florida, New York, Pennsylvania, and unfortunately for us, Gordon, New Jersey.
Wow.
I would have put New Jersey right at the top
of
the list.
Just
because we're just right on top of each other.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a zombie, one zombie is going to infect like 1,000 people in about 10 seconds.
Well, listen, I mean, we're just going to be overrun by New Yorkers. Where are they going?
Well, that's what I mean.
They're not going further east into the ocean.
Right.
They're coming across New Jersey.
When New Yorkers run, they usually run to New Jersey.
Right.
Right? Or Connecticut, but mostly New Jersey. So, this is where they're coming.
Now, Wyoming is a massive state.
Yes.
Land area-wise,
right?
But there's only like 500,000 people who live there.
Yes.
There are more people who live in my county in New Jersey.
Yes.
About twice as many
that
live in Wyoming.
Yes.
So, we'll take the flight to Wyoming.
Go,
ASAP.
Yes, go west,
right,
sir. Go west.
Wow. This show was sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, with every day that goes by, we change and we grow. Getting to know yourself is a lifelong process, and sometimes we don't know what we want or why we react to things the way we do. That's where therapy can come in. It's all about deepening your self-awareness and understanding. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can take you on a journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Through therapy, you can learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. BetterHelp can empower you to be the best version of yourself. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be flexible and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. Discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/deal today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, BetterHelp.com/deal. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a finance update, and it's brought to you by Discover. I just learned Discover credit cards do something awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right, everything you earned doubled. See terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. If you're looking at a vacation rental property, be sure to watch out for potential scams. Fox News put together a list of them. Number one, the deposit scam. If you're asked to make a holiday deposit to the owner, especially using a third-party app, a wire transfer, or in a way that is separate from the website you're booking on, that owner could receive your deposit and then ghost you. Number two, the bogus listing scam. It happens mostly on sites like Facebook Marketplace, Instagram, and Craigslist. However, scammers can slip by even on rental sites like Airbnb and Vrbo with fake property listing. If a listing seems like an unbeatable deal, it could be a scam. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A major winter storm dumped more than a foot of snow on parts of the Northeast, knocking out power to more than 250,000 customers. More than 700 flights into or out of LaGuardia in New York, Newark Liberty, and Logan International in Boston were canceled Tuesday. In California, hundreds of thousands are without power as an atmospheric river continues to move through. This woman and her family had to be rescued from their car in Sonoma County.
We thought we could get through and we can't, so my advice, don't ever go through water. Ever.
More than 800,000 people in the West are under flood warnings.
Number two.
A Mexican judge has indicted five men turned in by a drug gang in the abduction of four Americans, two of whom were killed in the violence-plagued city of Matamoros. The men were indicted Saturday on kidnapping and homicide charges and have been detained in prison awaiting trial.
Number three.
A federal judge will hear arguments today in a high-stakes court case that could threaten access to medication abortion and blunt the authority of federal drug regulators. A judge in Texas is weighing a lawsuit from Christian conservatives aimed at overturning the FDA's more than two-decade approval of an abortion pill. There's essentially no precedent for a lone judge overruling the scientific decisions of the FDA, and legal experts warn of far-reaching consequences if judges begin second-guessing FDA decisions on drug safety and effectiveness. Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost has filed suit against Norfolk Southern, seeking to hold the company financially responsible for the train derailment in East Palestine.
Our lawsuit is seeking the damages to the state of Ohio, to its environment, to its economy, as well as the broader damage to the people.
The complaint seeks civil penalties, damages, court costs, and other relief for the February 3rd incident, which led to the derailment of 38 cars, including 11 tankers carrying hazardous materials that caught fire. Blueberries, beloved by nutritionists for their anti-inflammatory properties, have joined fiber-rich green beans in this year's Dirty Dozen of non-organic produce with the most pesticides. The Environmental Working Group, which analyzed nearly 46,600 fruit and vegetable samples, says strawberries and spinach continue to top the dirty list, followed by kale, collards, and mustard. Next were peaches, pears, nectarines, apples, grapes, peppers, and cherries.
Not on the list, though, lettuce on a Big Mac. So
it's contaminated by the Big Mac.
The Dell Technologies semi-annual sale starts now with limited quantity deals on select performance PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Save on select Vostro laptops with built-in security features and select Latitude laptops with enhanced privacy, collaboration, and connectivity. Save on select essential accessories, plus free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for joining us. Duque Hebert was sitting in the bullpen for Team Nicaragua when the phone rang. Once he heard his name called, Hebert knew this was the opportunity of a lifetime at the World Baseball Classic. MLB.com says what he didn't know, however, was who he was set to face in the top of the ninth. The Dominican Republic had the top of its order due up. Juan Soto, Julio Rodriguez, and Manny Machado, possibly Rafael Devers, four of the biggest stars in the majors. He struck out Soto, Rodriguez, and Devers, who will earn a combined $700 million in their big league careers. What followed turned the story that much sweeter. A scout for the Detroit Tigers offered Hebert a chance to sign with the Tigers as he walked off the mound. Hebert immediately agreed to a deal with Detroit, though that won't become official until he heads back to Nicaragua to sign in front of his family and friends. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka and Mike Gavin, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.